T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From NFL Network's wildly popular Good Morning Football. This show's actually very good, Nick. Everybody loves it.
Well, usually, hey, look at Francesa actually made it a guest appearance.
I know.
I mean, how could it be bad? Okay, I mean, I'm on it.
I showed up, okay? Right. And I think the only reason Mike showed up was this guy, and that's Peter Schrager. Yeah,
is that right?
Peter, you definitely booked Francesa. Is that fair to say?
Is that true?
Yes, and you butter Francesa up a little bit. He'll start listening to coming on other shows. That's exactly what we did. But first,
you figured that out, huh?
Yeah, it worked a little bit. And he was great on our show.
Oh, it was.
And,
you played a Mike's ego, and you're in. What are you kidding?
There's two things I know in life. You play to Mike Francesa's ego, and you listen to Cliff Floyd talk about the virtues of Facebook. I am in. Sign me up.
There you go.
You handle the president like you handle Francesa. Butter them
that's
up.
Exactly right. Oh,
man, whatever you want. Doubt. No doubt about that.
And Good Morning Football airs Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern time. Let's start with something we brought up about a half hour ago. The idea that Bill Belichick, who loves to flex his muscle and show the world how great he is, and he is great. You'd be lying if you didn't admit that. The idea that the Patriots may move Rob Gronkowski. Do you buy it, Peter?
Yeah, I don't know if this is coming from a valid source or what, but I will say this. There was a lot of interesting stuff coming out of New England over the last few weeks and little subtle things. You know, Danny Amendola, who I think a lot of Patriots fans would say maybe one of their greatest postseason players of all time, signs with Miami and goes down to the Dolphins. And the Instagram post, if you want to look into this kind of stuff, comes up. And Gronkowski tweets out to him, "Go be free." And then you've got Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount winning Super Bowls a year after winning with the Patriots, winning with the Eagles, and saying how much fun they had. I'm wondering if this is more Gronkowski saying, you know what, before they kick me to the curb, maybe I want to enjoy something, and maybe I want to go out on my own terms, because we know it. Whether it be Vince Wilfork or Willie McGinnis or Randy Moss, whoever it is, no matter how good you are, Belichick's the one usually who decides your fate with the Patriots. Here's Gronkowski, seminal talent in his generation. I don't think this comes from nowhere. I think this story actually does have some legs to it. And some of the messages he's been putting out there, maybe it's from Gronk. Maybe it's his side, not Belichick's side.
Yeah, but let's be honest about this, Peter. I mean, you know, as long as Brady and Belichick are there, they're going to win. I mean, they didn't need Gronkowski. 2 years ago, Gronkowski missed the whole second half of the season in the playoffs, and they still won the Super Bowl.
And so, right.
You know,
that's the trade-off, right? That's the trade-off. Do you want to be in the Super Bowl in the playoffs every year? Do you want to do that? Or is two rings good and you want to make some money and go somewhere else and maybe be able to go dance and have fun? I don't know. And a lot of these guys, you'd say, well, of course, it's just you want to win, win, win. Some of these guys, it's not that. Some of these guys, let me get my big paycheck. You know, he's not the highest paid tight end, all this stuff. And let me go have fun and end my career somewhere where I can do that.
Will the Cleveland Browns stun us all on draft day and do something stupid? Actually, that wouldn't be stunning us. That would be expected. Your thoughts on what the Browns do.
But what's stupid, right? So I think they've got the right guys in charge. John Dorsey and Elliot Wolf and all these guys, they're new faces, so they're not the typical stat guys. They're not, you know, Paul DePodesta's not making this pick. But what's stupid, because the talk is they're going to go either Sam Darnold or Josh Allen. And a lot of people are like, you cannot take Josh Allen first overall. He's out of Wyoming. No one's ever seen him win a big game. That is just a stupid decision. But these are the same guys. I mean, last year, John Dorsey took Patrick Mahomes 10th overall with the Chiefs, traded up to get him. Why? He's got a huge arm. Some of these guys would rather have the arm than necessarily the pedigree. And I don't think if you take one of those quarterbacks first overall, either one, it's stupid. Now, if you start talking about taking a running back, Barkley first overall, I would say that's a bit confusing.
I agree with you.
And if you're saying Baker Mayfield first overall, I think, well, that's an interesting decision too. But, yeah, if they go one of those two guys, I'm fine with it. And then the fourth pick, you take the next player you want. I think the Browns cannot miss on this one.
All right, so give me right now, talking Pete, with the Peter Schrager of NFL Network, give me right now the 1, 2, 3 picks in the draft. Let me hear it.
Here's how I see it. I see Darnold 1 to the Browns. I see the Giants going with big Josh Allen. And I see the Jets either going with Mayfield or Rosen. I think it's all quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3.
So you think the Giants
will take a quarterback?
Are kind of giving us a little misdirection, because we always tried to read everything that's said. And the truth is, we can't believe anybody. Every GM is going to try to misdirect us, or if you want to call them lying, call them lying. You don't buy that they won't take a quarterback? You think at the end of the day they take a quarterback, even if it's not Sam Darnold?
I think that the New York Giants would hope and pray, and their fans would hope and pray, that they never have a top three pick again, and that in the next 10 years they will never be put in this position. Eli Manning is 37 years old. This is the most quarterback-rich draft we've seen in years. It's all lining up perfectly. Take your guy for the future. Let him learn from Eli for a year, maybe a year and a half, and then you start handing the torch off. To me, Saquon Barkley is a great, great talent. He's a running back. No running back is worthy of the number two overall pick, the way the economics of the NFL work. Really quickly to me, Kirk Cousins made $30 million past offseason, a season, because he's a veteran free agent. You either get a quarterback in the draft or you get a veteran free agent. Do you want to pay $30 million or do you want to get a rookie who you'll pay $6 million for the next 4 years? Mariota's going to make $6 million. Winston's going to make $6 million. When $6 million. Kirk Cousins is making $30. Case Keenum is making $20. Just by the math of it all and salary cap economics, if you're the Giants and you have a potential need for quarterback in the next 3 years, you take one if you're the number two overall pick. That's how I see it.
Are you concerned about the whispers? Forget about the concussion situation with Rosen, but the whispers that his head coach at UCLA, Mora, basically said, you know, he's got the attention span of an 8-year-old. How about that?
It's crazy that Mora has swallowed three shoes, it feels like. He's gone back and forth and kept up. I didn't say that. What I said was this, clarifying it, and then opens up another door. I never want to see a college coach come out and criticize his player, and whether or not Mora thinks he was criticizing or not, even saying that the Browns would be a better fit for Sam Darnold is a real, real slap in the face to a guy that you just bled and sweat with for 3 years. So there's a lot of negative on Josh Rosen. I ask around, but I think a lot of that negative could be a positive in New York, if that makes sense. A lot of it is he's the smartest guy in the room. He's, you know, he's the kind of dude that's going to tell the coach what to do. I'm looking at the Jets team right now. Is that the worst thing in the world to have a guy who?
Well, we got. First of all, the Jets have a horrific head coach. So,
exactly. I mean,
let's start with that.
Joe, don't you trust Rosen's opinion more than Bowles?
You know what? I actually do.
Exactly.
We got one of the worst coaches in football, if not the worst. Peter, I'm a huge Jet fan for over 50 years.
I know, Joe. Listen, I know.
Bowles is terrible.
I know. Listen to those calls. I know.
He's horrible.
Look, I've done a lot of Jet games. Todd Bowles isn't giving the media a whole lot. So I'm going to take the confidence of the league and the ownership group and everyone that behind closed doors, Todd Bowles is the leader of men and all that stuff. But that said, at the quarterback position, you got one of the greatest leaders ever in Josh McCown. Guys love him. He's not going to be the quarterback in the future. To me, Josh Rosen comes in, smart dude, pretty savvy, doesn't need football. I love that as an insult. Have you ever heard of something so stupid? This kid doesn't need football. His father's very successful.
Right.
I don't want a guy who doesn't need football. No, he chooses to play football. That's okay. So I'm a Rosen guy. I like his attitude. I like his swag. I think maybe a leader, someone who opens his mouth and voices opinion, is not the worst thing in the world.
All of that may be fine. So my concern about Rosen is the health, because you could be loud, you could be great, you could be talented. You're irrelevant if you're not playing. If you can't stay on the field, what do you mean? And we've seen it with Eli Manning. One of the great values in Eli Manning is that every single week he's out there. It's one of the great things about Eli Manning. That guy, and he played through injury. This idea didn't get hurt. Oh, he got hurt. He just played through it. How concerned are you about that aspect of Josh Rosen?
Well, it doesn't matter how I am. It's how the team feels, because this could be McCagnon. This could be Chris Johnson, his last pick as far as this, if Woody comes back over from overseas. Like, this is all, they're all in on this. And they've passed on quarterback the last several years in the top 10. So here we are. They better be comfortable with it, because if there's rumors of concussions, if there's rumors of issues with the body, that's something you can't heal with a good coaching. That's something that you got to worry about. So they'll do their due diligence. I don't think they're taking a quarterback third overall if they don't feel comfortable with his health.
All right, how about the Beckham situation with the Giants? I mean, do you see him on the team in this coming year?
I see this stuff out. Like, look, I was at the owners' meetings. I'm pretty close to a lot of the people that are in these conversations. This was no smokescreen. This was real. Like, there have been calls made to the Giants, whether the Giants are the ones putting it out there or the other teams are fielding calls. Teams are calling. The bounty that I heard was 2 first-round picks, and that's pretty rich for a lot of players. It's really rich for a guy that you're not sure – is going to sign with the new team long-term until you actually get him in the building. So do I think he's a Giant? I'm not sure, but I don't think the trade happened at the owners' meetings where all 32 GMs were there. I think it's going to cool off for a little bit. The other part of this is a lot of teams did their work on Odell Beckham. I'm not sure how long the line was to trade for Odell Beckham. If Antonio Brown was on the trading block, guys, 32 teams would say, okay, let's talk turkey. Odell Beckham was pretty much put out there, and we've heard a couple teams whispered and mentioned. I don't think 32 teams called the Giants and said, that's the guy that we need.
You know, the 2-1s, 2-1 sounds like a lot. But when you think about it, if those 2-1s are coming from the L.A. Rams, is that really worth it if you're the Giants? I've got this incredible, incredible talent. And in return, I'm going to get 2 late first-round picks where I'd be very, very lucky to find the guy half as good as Odell Beckham. I don't even know if I'm making that trade if I'm the Giants.
Evan, on the field, of course not. You would never. Odell Beckham's one of the great talents I've ever seen in the league. But this is a guy going to the final year of his contract who says, I want to be paid like a quarterback. You might get nothing for him.
No, but Peter, here's where I disagree. I would look at him and say, where's your power? I'll franchise you. We'll franchise you. He's not walking away.
And he drags this thing out. I mean, this could be, look, everyone's saying, you trade Odell Beckham, that's playing with fire. What if this is a train wreck that the Giants foresee happening? I'm not talking as if I know what they're thinking, but what if they see this down the road and saying, you know what, let's wipe our hands dry, let's get out of this thing, and let's get something for him because we might not get him at the end of free agency. We might not have him this season if he decides to hold out. Who knows?
Let me ask you this. I want to ask you your opinion on this because this is the way I look at it. This is my brain. Which is worse? All right, which is worse? You keep him around, he's a disaster. He does this bad, he does that bad. He can't wait to get out of here as a distraction. Or you trade him to the Rams, and he's in Canton in a decade and a half. What's worse? Because I'll tell you what I think is worse, him in Canton somewhere else.
That does sound like you just traded Jay Buhner, right? That's what it sounds like. It sure does. And Mr. Costanza shows up at the door screaming at the Mara family. But look, there's a lot of ways you can look at it, and that's fine. But if they feel like this is the way you can do it, and they've got a new brass in town, Shermer, Gettleman, we know the track record. He got rid of Steve Smith in Carolina, which was like sacrilegious. He got rid of Josh Norman. He pulled a franchise tag from him and said, kick the curb. This guy ain't scared to do it. He's 67 years old. He wants to run the franchise like he wants to run it. I'm just saying, obviously, if all things are equal, you're never trading Odell Beckham. Clearly, there are issues with Odell Beckham and the Giants, and that's why this is even a story right now.
Do you give Teddy Bridgewater any chance of coming back and maybe he would be the guy for the Jets for the next 10 years? Any shot at that?
I know they like him. Like, I talked to guys within the Jets organization. They were really excited to get Teddy. Obviously, they wanted Kirk Cousins, but Teddy was plan B at the moment for free agency. But if he's the guy, no, I think you don't trade up to number 3 and not take a quarterback. I would be shocked.
No. I want to take the quarterback, but I'm just, of course, I'm taking. No, are you kidding? But I mean, just giving Bridgewater that opportunity, is there any shot that maybe he could be that guy?
Sure.
Okay.
Right? Like, I mean, that guy, I don't know what that guy is, because no matter what, that torch is being handed to somebody else. So for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, can you get what you got out of Josh McCown last year? Sure. I mean, I think he could be a serviceable starter.
Hmm. Yeah,
all you see, though, serviceable starter, right?
Yeah,
even though he's only 25 years old.
Look, I don't think the market bared many things for Teddy Bridgewater. And when the truth of the matter is, when the Vikings went to the playoffs, they were up against the Saints. They were up against the Eagles. They had 3 quarterbacks. They started Case Keenum. They had a healthy Sam Bradford and a healthy Teddy Bridgewater. And the number 2 quarterback for all those games was Sam Bradford. So if that's the case, and then the free agency market, there wasn't a long line, I just read what the league is saying. But then again, Joe, Nick Foles had no market last year. So who knows? I mean, these guys can turn things around very easily.
We're talking to Peter Schrager, NFL Network. Good Morning Football. It airs Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern time. What's been great about this offseason are the trades. It's been like an offseason none of us remember in the NFL with as many significant trades as we've seen. This has been a lot of fun, that what we've watched over the last few months.
It's been awesome. And what it is a lot of teams looked at their situation and said, what can we do to win right now? And those teams are all doing it at the same time. Let's take, obviously, the Rams have been trading. The Eagles have been very active. I love that these teams that went very far in the playoffs kind of put their names out there. Like, the Vikings could have been very easy to say, okay, let's keep Case Keenum and keep this thing rocking. No, they went and they upgraded. And so let's look at Kirk Cousins, pay him the big money. So very different offseason. And, guys, we work on a football show every morning, so obviously I'm biased. I haven't watched an NBA game all season. I don't care about the NBA. Baseball started. It's raining. It's snowing. I'm still thinking football in April. And I think it's a pretty good sign for the league's strength when everyone was saying that the NFL is dying. And I think that's an absurd thing to say.
How much trouble is Michael Bennett in with this situation? I mean, talk about trades. He got traded to the Eagles. I mean, how much trouble is he in with this? I guess he pushed somebody in a wheelchair, whatever he did. How about that?
I honestly don't know. I haven't done the work on it. I haven't asked around, really. To me, it's a story that's going to be in the offseason. He'll handle it, and we'll see what the Eagles do. But the Eagles have have to really pretty much have him on their team. I mean, they got this deal for him, and he's going to be due a lot of money. So we'll see. The question with me with Bennett is, you already had a Super Bowl winning team. You've got leaders in the locker room. He's a big personality. He's a big voice. It's worked for the Eagles. They've added a ton of personality, a ton of voice, and it all meshed. Now you have the Super Bowl winning team, and you have a new personality, a guy who also rings. I'm more curious to see how that all fits in together in that locker room.
Peter Schrager, also known as the Francesa Whisperer.
There you go.
We appreciate you coming on.
Is he coming on the show again anytime soon, Pete?
I don't know. I'm seeing in the New York Post a lot of Boomer Esiason and Mike Francesa talk going on.
What
today.
Are you talking about? I don't listen to the morning show. Okay, so I don't know. I don't know what was said.
Never listened to it.
I didn't even think they talked to each other, Boomer and Mike. Did they?
I saw them at the end talking. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, I remember they had a nice, comfortable meeting in their office. I walked past. Peter?
I mean, I'm reading the New York Post, and the top story is...
I think we're losing Peter here.
I'll fill you in, though, but thank you to Peter
Schrager. Tell me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.